Welcome to the March 2nd sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 24, and the sermon is entitled, The Gospel Transforms, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
The table has been set by worship and prayer, and as we come to the Word of God together, take your Bibles, go to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter number 1. If you remember, we started it together last week, and we will finish out chapter number 1 today. The why behind the what you do is important. I'm going to say that one more time. The why behind the what you do is important. Why do you make church a priority on Sunday morning? Why do you serve on a parking team? Why is sharing the good news or the gospel important? Why do you rock babies or serve on a committee? Why do we do these things? And here's what I want you to know, church. Because may not be the best answer. If someone asks you, why do you go to that church up there on Sunday morning? And you just say, because I want to. That might not be the best answer. Today, we open a very important book in our faith. Paul is writing to a church, the churches in Galatia, and he doesn't just write because. He writes because there are questions. He writes to give instruction and direction. He writes to tackle theological misunderstandings. And for the Galatians, there were two main reasons that we looked at last week of why Paul wrote to them. If you want to know where those two reasons are, you can look back in chapter number 1, verse number 6. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you to the grace of Christ unto another gospel. They have quickly left the gospel. The Christ in which they should love and the Christ in which Paul preached. And then the second reason you see in verse number 7 is there are those that pervert the gospel. They're adding things to salvation. It's gospel or it's Christ plus something, whether it's works or law. And so it warrants a letter to these churches to try to get them straight. Remember, these churches in Galatia are made up of people of different backgrounds, very similar to us. There are some in this room that grew up in church. There are some that have never attended church until they came here. And that is what Paul is dealing with. He is dealing with those that are of the Judaizers who have that background of the Jewish law. They know religion. And then those Gentile believers that have just heard about Jesus and they accepted him, but they know nothing of the law. And these two groups come and are part of the church. And so in that, the church in its early stages is working through these theological differences. And so Paul has to address and he stands on the truth of Christ. Well, today, how can we relate to that? On one end, you and I, we can't live a life that is defined by rules or the law, because here's the truth. Jesus Christ has set us free from them. Amen? But the other side of the coin is this. We can't live a life that just goes with the flow and anything and everything goes because Jesus will forgive you and we can just do whatever we want to. The church should not be made up of people like that. And so in between those two things, the law is set as a guiding stone. And the people are to follow Jesus as their Savior. The law points every man and every woman to Jesus. And so that is what Jesus came to fulfill, that law. How many of you believe the gospel can transform? My prayer is this, is that it has transformed your life in some way. But because of that transformation, then you are encouraged to reach out with that good news, the gospel, to others. Remember that issue discovered last week, there are people that have quickly left the truth of the gospel. They are distorting the gospel. And the gospel is what Jesus Christ has done for us. Do not let anybody lead you away from that truth or distort that truth. And that is the warning for the church in Galatia. Look at verses 10 through 14. As we think about a gospel that transforms. Look at verse number 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past, in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. Point number one today, as we look at how the gospel transforms us, I want you to see God's teaching. God's teaching. Now, last week we looked at the accusation as Paul stated in verse number one, his title of apostle. There were people that questioned who he was and how he could claim what he claimed. And as we read these verses today, he speaks to the importance of the gospel message, that it is not from man. It has not come to him from man's revelation, but it came to him from God. Man has not persuaded him. Man has not tried to please him. Man has not had any influence on him. This was a direct revelation from God. Now, the reason that you do something, his answer is in verse number 10. He says this, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. He says this, if I'm here to please men, I'm not a servant to Christ. That still is true for you and I today. If I stand here, or if anybody else stands in a position of leadership or teaching in the church and does it for their own merit, you better be very careful. It's not to please you. Maybe you've walked out of here and you said before, Pastor Jeffrey or Pastor Mike or Pastor Clyde, man, that was hard stuff today. If we stand here to tickle your ears, shame on us. We are here to stand on the word of God and let God let that land wherever it may. So today, as we open the word of God, this isn't a tickling ear session. This is God, please speak to us and correct us and change us and make us more like you. And so as Paul begins, he says this in verse number 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. So he says, it's not by man's influence, the message, the good news, the gospel that I preach. He said, I didn't receive it from man, neither was I taught it by man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. How many of you have been transformed and you know in that meeting you met God? You're going to hear this a couple times today. How many of you can circle a time or look back to a time where you met the Lord and Jesus changed your life? I can take you back to the time. It was September. I was 15 years old, and Jesus transformed. He changed my life. And what Paul is saying here, I encountered Jesus, and Jesus changed me. Now listen to this carefully. If you truly meet Jesus, he will change your life. He should change your life. If you truly meet him as Savior, he's going to do a work and he's going to change your life. And Paul says this, I have a defense in that no man, I have not no man has been rubbing off on me. I met God. And God has taught me. And God set me apart. And God called me to this position of apostle to preach that good news that he can change other lives as well. Paul's story. On the Damascus Road, it was his encounter with God. And as Paul says this, you know me, I tried to persecute the church. I hated the church. Look at verse number 13. You have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. That's hard language. Here was Paul's, when he was Saul, here was his goal, his lone goal was to eliminate the church that represented Jesus Christ. And it was all in the namesake of religion. I tried to waste it. Look at verse number 14. And profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. He said, I was more zealous, I was more worked up because of my faith, of the traditions of my fathers. I was ready to eliminate the church. All of this is in defense of why now he preaches and teaches for Jesus. He was a rabbi, a teaching and leading in the religious movement in the life of the Jews. And how does somebody change that quickly? Maybe you have met somebody or know somebody that used to be one way, and when they met Jesus, they're totally different. That's only the work of God. And so today I ask you, have you met him? Has Jesus transformed your life? This message and ministry that now Paul is called to travel and talk about this good news of how Jesus Christ can transform your life, it didn't begin with man. It came from God Almighty through his son Jesus Christ, and it transforms lives. Lives are transformed by the teaching of God's word. And it started, Paul says, it started with me. Look at verses 15 through 17. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. So not only does God's teaching transform lives, God's timing transforms lives. How many of you have heard the statement before, timing is everything? Right? Some of you hunt in here and you know you can do all the scouting in the world, you can do all the cameras in the world, you can do all the, y'all don't bait, do y'all? Y'all don't do that stuff, do y'all? Some of y'all do with that laugh, I know you do. You can do all that, but here's the thing. You've got to be in the right place at the right time to ever work. I think about God's timing in my own life. I got out of school, I went to work, and I started some community college classes, and I did that for 5 years of my life. And about 2 years into that, there came this pretty lady to become the secretary where I worked. And by the help of Sally Cope and God, because I didn't have the courage to walk off that hall and talk to her, okay? I'm just going to be honest with you. We're getting ready to celebrate 20 years of marriage this year. Now, listen, God's timing, right? God's timing. There are two ways that Paul speaks to God's timing, and I believe in God's timing 100%. How did the Lord, or when did the Lord work in Paul's life? Look at verse number 15. It says this, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace." Paul says this, "Before I was born, God had a plan for my life." I believe that is true for every person in this room, for every believer. Before you were born, God had a plan for your life. And I believe that's true for us today. And as we live out that plan and are obedient to that plan, it becomes God-pleasing. But there's a second time and event, and I want you to see it at the beginning of verse number 15. It says this, "But when it pleased God." So God knew what he was going to do before Paul or Saul was ever born. But when it pleased God, here's what happened in verse number 15. "He called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. And immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." It was a time that pleased God. And in that big picture moment, how many of us like to zoom in and want to think about us right now? But God has a big picture. And in that big picture moment, when the timing was right, God revealed his son, Jesus Christ, to Saul or to Paul, and he had an encounter with God, and it changed his life. As I wrote that down, I also wrote a couple questions as I thought about this timing. Why didn't God call him before he oversaw the killing of Stephen? Why didn't God call Paul before he threw people in prison and destroyed families? Why didn't God call Paul before he destroyed the church? I don't have the answers to those questions. And there are some of those why questions that you have that I can't answer either. But here's what I want you to know. In the right time when God was ready, he met Paul and he changed his life. And I believe that meeting is for many people in this world today and is yet to happen. Church, we must be obedient and we must be willing to share that good news and that gospel message. In God's timing, by his grace, here's what happened. Jesus changed Paul's life. And notice it is by his grace. Throughout this book of Galatians, you're going to hear the word grace, grace, grace. And here is what that says. You cannot do it on your own. You cannot do it by your best efforts, by your works, by your family name, by your religion, by your church attendance. You cannot be saved. The only way that you can be saved is to repent and turn to him in faith. Turn from your sin and turn to Jesus in faith, and you will be saved. And so today, that encounter may need to happen in some lives in this room. But Paul says this, "I didn't talk to anyone. Nobody rubbed off on me. I didn't sit under man to get all of this. I met God." And God led him to minister to many different places, and we're going to see that in just a second. But this gospel can transform lives today. What about God's timing in your life? I'm going to go back to what I asked earlier. Can you put a finger on when you met Jesus? If you can't, there's a high likelihood that you never have and that you need him as Savior. God's timing is important. What about the gospel transforms? Look at verses 18 through 20. "Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write to you, behold, before God, I lie not." I want you to see God's truth. Notice Paul makes a point to tell the Galatians, listen, I didn't run to the apostles. I didn't run to them and get their information and get their story. I'm not sharing their story. Again, he's presenting facts to those that are accusing him of preaching some false gospel. He says this in verse number 18, after 3 years. Do you see that? Here's what I believe. I believe after Paul met the Lord, he didn't jump straight in the ministry. He spent some time with him and God, and God ministered to him personally. And it is a 3 year time frame. He said, I didn't go around. I wasn't involved in the church. I didn't do all this stuff. I was on a hiatus, me and God. And God ministered to me, and God called me, and God changed me in those 3 years. Verse number 18 and 19, he says, I seen Peter for 15 days. And he said in verse number 19, the other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. The only other leader of the church that I seen was James. There's no church influence here on my life. It's God. God has changed me. But in verse number 20, he says, these things I write to you, behold, before God, I lie not. Have you ever had to promise somebody something? Like you're telling them the truth and you're like, I promise you, like I'm not lying. You've got to almost defend yourself. Maybe somebody gives you a little snarky look and they're like, are you kidding me? And you're going, no, I'm telling the truth. This is exactly what Paul is doing. He said, I'm telling you the truth, churches. God has changed my life. I've not been influenced by the early church in Jerusalem. I've not been influenced by the apostles. I'm a man before you whose life has been changed by God and transformed. You have heard the stories. There are many that doubted if Paul's life was a real change. Where did this thing came up? Did he make it up? Did it come from other people, other religious leaders? Or did it truly come from God? As he writes, he says, I'm going to tell you the truth. Look at me, church. People need to hear the truth of how you met God. You don't need to make up some fancy story. You don't need to add to it or take away from it. Tell people how you met Jesus. And allow the Lord to do the rest of the work. You don't have to twist arms. You don't have to beg and plead. You allow the Lord to work. But be faithful in telling the story that Jesus changed my life. Jesus transformed me. And simply tell the truth of what God did, not what you did. There's one more point in the letter ends, chapter 1 ends, excuse me. Afterwards, in verse number 21, afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by the face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith with which he once destroyed, and they glorified God in me. When we think about a gospel that transforms, listen to God's testimony. God gives you a testimony. God gives you something to share of how God impacted your life. Paul continues to mark the places that he has visited and even circling back to home. Now he circles back, he mentions Jerusalem, but he circles back home to the modern day region of Turkey. And he says this, even in my home churches, look at verse number 22. He said, I was unknown by face to the churches that were in Christ. I was unknown to the church. This is a good Sunday to Tom walks back in. We know Tom's face, don't we? Paul says this, I've been rogue. I've been spending time with God. Listen, the church doesn't even know my face. I'm unknown to them. As he comes back into his home territory after his conversion, after spending 3 years with the Lord, the church doesn't know him, but the gospel wasn't given for man. It wasn't given for institution. It was given by God to transform lives. Man has had no influence on the life of Paul. The church hasn't had any influence on him. They had heard of Paul. They had heard of the conversion. They had heard that he killed people, and they had heard now that he preaches. But guess what? Now they see it. As I wind this down, how would you feel if today the doors just flung open wide and there walked somebody down front of the church that it had murdered somebody? And years passed, and now they have been transformed by the Lord. Maybe within your gut, within your soul, there would be some hesitancy to keep them at arm's length. Don't let them close enough. Keep your eyes on them. They got a checkered past. Has Jesus really? Can Jesus really do this? And here's what Paul's saying to these churches. Jesus can, and Jesus did, because I am the example. I used to persecute the church, and in verse number 23, he says, now I preach the faith that I used to destroy. Someone like that, it can only be the Lord Jesus that worked in their life. As we come to the end of chapter number 1, maybe it wasn't as fiery as last week, but there are many faces in this room, many faces that are watching live stream, many lives today. When I think about Clifford Baptist Church, here's the question that comes to mind. Do we have a testimony of God's transforming power in our lives? I love what Paul does at the end of chapter 1. He said, they glorified God in me. When they heard all of this, they glorified the work that God had done. Listen, Clifford Baptist Church, we don't gather together to lift up ourselves or lift up a denomination. We don't gather to lift up our church's name. We gather to lift up Jesus in this place. And in doing so, as God gets the glory, not only on a Sunday morning, but day by day, and the work that God has done in our lives, is he getting the glory out of that transformation that he has done? Can you point to his truth? Can you point to his timing? Can you point to his teaching in your life? If Jesus saved you, oh, what a testimony you have. And so, church, we are now challenged to take this gospel, this good news of the power of Jesus Christ, and not keep it to ourselves, but take it to a world that is dying and going to hell without it. Amen. And so today, we can sit in a beautiful church. It's not about the church. We can champion denominations, but it's not about that either. It is about the gospel truth. Jesus can change your life, and Jesus will change your life if you will be obedient to him. Today, church, how does that process with the Holy Spirit at work through our teaching and time and in truth, how does God work? You just got to be obedient to the Holy Spirit's work in your life. Maybe there is somebody here today that's just like Paul. I said, there was a time in my life that I worked against God, but now I work for him. But right now, you don't know where you stand. You've never had an encounter with Jesus. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, today could be that day. And so if you've never understood the gospel truth, here's what that means. Jesus loves you. Even though we are sinners, the Bible teaches us that Jesus died for us. He paid that price for our lives or for our soul. And as he went to that cross, he took your sin. And it was as he was crucified and he bled and died, that blood was the covering of your sin for all eternity in the eyes of God. They put him in a tomb. He stayed there for 3 days, and on the third day he rose to give life for eternity to anyone who will come by faith and belief. Today, if you've never accepted that good news, I'm not twisting your arm. God's got to work. But if you feel that in your heart and you feel the Holy Spirit working, don't you put it off today. You come. Church family, we have a great gospel message and we can't keep it for ourselves. May we be challenged to share it outside of these doors this week. And pray that God continues to work on the men and women of God inside this building. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father God, Lord, thank you for this day. And Lord, as we come before you now in a moment of invitation, God, we pray that your spirit would move. Thank you for the great reminder, Lord, through Paul's writing today, that you have changed his life, that you have worked in his life from before he was born. God, maybe there's somebody in this room that's a believer that's contemplating, okay, God, how are you going to work in my life? Lord, I pray that you will just challenge them just to be obedient to your word and to your leading. Lord, for that one that needs you as Savior, God, I pray, Lord, that they will see that sin that separates, but they also will see that a Savior went to a cross to die for him. God, I pray that you will lead hearts, whether they belong to you or not, to be obedient to you in this moment. In Jesus' name.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.